This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm Dave O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of, not even a bit, loads of pop culture bits thrown in. Well, January continues to surprise us. Despite the insane weather, yes, we've had four seasons in one day. We've had two storms in one hour. I don't know what's going on out there, but it doesn't matter. Because it's another beautiful week of content that is quality over quantity. Oh, yeah. So, shall we begin?
Major Egan.
You were the first pilot assigned to the 100th.
Me and Buck Levin.
You are in charge of 35 planes and 350 air crewmen.
Don't you die on me before I get over there.
Something big is brewing.
The 8th will be sending up the largest air armada ever assembled in the history of mankind.
Straight into Hitler's territory.
An incomplete and total air superiority. That's the mission.
In the early noughties, we all remember the Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks produced military HBO miniseries Band of Brothers and the Pacific. Who didn't own the box set and binge that lot? Paddy was a huge fan of those. Ah yes, the good old days, binging and drooling on the couch with all the tea. Well, now on Apple TV Plus, from that exact same team, we have what is technically the final part of that trilogy, Masters of the Air, which looks at the Air Force across a 9-episode arc. Initially, I'm not going to lie, it seemed a bit weird that it's on Apple, but hey, they've more money than HBO and Warner these days, and with a budget in excess of $250 million for this one, methinks Moneybags Apple are hoping for a smash hit. Adapted from the best-selling non-fiction book from Donald L. Miller of the same name, it follows a bomber group flying dangerous missions over Nazi Germany and features a quite insane cast. I mean a smoking hot cast, both in looks and trajectory in Hollywood, led by Austin Butler, Barry Keoghan, Callum Turner, Nkuti Gatwa, Nate Mann and Anthony Boyle. Also, something which cannot in any way be overlooked is the caliber of the directors involved here. Kari Joji Fukunaga, who gave us No Time to Die and Season 1 of True Detective. Dee Reese, who gave us Mudbound. And the team of Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck, who gave us Half Nelson and the first Captain Marvel movie. Wow, wow. This series is absolutely stacked and is 100% worth bailing into. The first two episodes stream from today. That's Masters of the Air, which is now on Apple TV+. More Masters also out this week in the form of Kevin Smith's revival of the 80s superhero He-Man. Masters of the Universe Revolution is an all-new Netflix animated series and a sequel to the Masters of the Universe Revelation, which was released in 2021. It also serves as a spiritual sequel to the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe series that ran back in the days between 1983 and 1985. After their defeat at the hands of Skeletor, Teela and He-Man must team up to save Eternia from the clenched fist of darkness. Listen, you are either all in on the big man train, he's like the original Reacher, but with a sword. Oh, Alan Ritchson as a live action He-Man. Now that is beautiful nonsense. That's me just throwing some casting nuggets out into the ether. So there you go. Nonsense ahoy, Masters of the Universe, Revolution, the sequel to Revelation, is out now on Netflix.
They've got some of the best players in world rugby. That's what you want to play against. You want to silence them in front of their home crowd.
You see that
being bothered? I need to see more energy off you, because we are the better team.
The thing is, you probably need to go through a bit more pain.
You like the challenge, don't you?
I struggled with mental health for years. I'm not afraid to say it.
Here we go again on our own. Oh, yeah. here we go, Six Nations time. Ah, yes. But before we start the new Six Nations, we're in the hamster wheel. We're going around and around. Grand Slam is old news, people. It's now fish and chip wrapper or something like that. But before we get there, Netflix, the folks behind Formula One, Drive to Survive, or the Tennis Breakpoint. Well, they've bailed in, cameras and all, for Six Nations Full Contact. Round by round, match by match, Netflix are there. Cameras up your wazoo, filming everything. At this stage, you know the formula. All access sports ball, heroes, villains, motherfucking montages everywhere, and a fascinating behind-the-scenes look at how it all unfolded. It's the most perfect prep, in fairness, for this year's tournament, and obviously Irish eyes will be smiling at the outcome of this one. What's not to love? It's your next water cooler chat for the coming week, and will obviously allow you to have the most amazing insights and knowledge next time you're down the pub watching the new championship, which begins with Ireland in the Stade de France on February 2nd. Oh, mon Dieu. Tough, tough start. Get in there. Go team. Six Nations, Full Contact. A look back at the 2023 championship is now all up on Netflix.
I just sometimes want to be alone. Where I'm not somebody's wife, not somebody's mother. Where I'm not defined by tragedy. Don't you ever miss it? Home?
I like our life here. The help that drives it makes everything easier.
I see his family.
You know, you always say that, right?
You're her employer, not her friend.
In Expats on Prime Video, Lulu Wang, who gave us the absolutely wonderful The Farewell movie, writes, directs and produces this 6-episode adaptation of Janice Y.K. Lee's best-selling novel, The Expatriates. Set in Hong Kong in 2014, the series is a look at the personal and professional lives of a tight-knit group of expatriates living there and the impact one mistake and tragedy has on them. Nicole Kidman is back on our TV screens alongside Ji Young Yu and Brian T, and there is some decent hype around this one. Filmed during, shall we say, the peak COVID times, it does arrive with one piece of controversy surrounding Kidman's exemption from the city's mandatory 21-day in-hotel quarantine regime as she arrived by private jet with bodyguards on August 12th, 2021. The Hong Kong authorities stated the quarantine exemption was granted for the purpose of performing designated professional work, taking into account that it is conducive to maintaining the necessary operation and development of Hong Kong's economy. Local residents, to say the least, were very unhappy and objected to what they considered grossly unfair treatment. But you know what? That was a time. It just feels like a dream. Mad Ted. Mad stuff. Just a foggy haze. Do you remember those days? I'll have a pint and a dinner and I'll sit outside in the cold. Anyways, all is now well and the controversy is firmly back under the carpet, in the vault, key thrown away. And Expats is now available on Prime Video. And as I said, The Farewell. What a movie. What a movie. So, Lulu Wang and Nicole Kidman, you had me at hello. If crime dramas are a dram, well, alright, let the games begin. And no, Aussie Cockney Statham is not back.
We're putting together a job. Big job.
It's gonna bring the entire kingdom to its knees. Gonna need a few strong boys.
Girl's the kind of bloke everyone likes, wants to be around.
What about the other one?
Don, he's a loyal dog. But I don't think he's all there upstairs.
Boy. Where's my milkshake?
Don.
How long does it take to put milk and ice cream together?
Don.
It's not like I ordered something special, like cherry York chocolate there, I can understand. Oh, but I'm talking vanilla here. Vanilla!
How is it?
Oh.
Now. Sorry. Sexy Beast on Paramount Plus is a prequel to Jonathan Glazer's acclaimed and absolutely fantastic 2000 film. Oh, so much stress. So much stress. I rewatched it this weekend. Oh my God. Ben Kingsley, sweet lord. He makes Begbie look like a pussycat. Right. Where was I? Oh, yes. So this one is set in the 1990s in East London and centres on the early relationship between friends and thieves Gal and Don, who were originally played by Ray Winston and Ben Kingsley, and are here played by James McHardle and Eamon Elliott. Tasman Gregg, Stephen Moyer and Sarah Green also star in this 8-episode series. Diamond geezers, sketchy heists, uber violence, and all with the ultimate aim for Gal to escape into the sun and just go lie down in the pool in his Speedos. With Jonathan Glazer back in the headlines this week for his new movie The Zone of Interest and all the Oscar noms being thrown at him, this can only help the series get noticed. I'm fairly certain it'll be no original Sexy Beast, but at least it'll be a welcome return to that mad, mad world. And, as you know, I love me a heist. Love me a heist. A sexy heist, even better. Anyway, Sexy Beast, the prequel called Sexy Beast, is now on Paramount Plus.
For the last 3 years, Griselda Blanco has owned Miami, distributing cocaine.
Miss Blanco's operation has been efficient, deadly, and incredibly successful.
Let's get to work.
Coming from the creators of Narcos, Griselda on Netflix star Sofia Vergara as Colombian drug kingpin or queenpin Griselda Blanco. Based on a true story, this limited series set mainly in Miami in the 1970s and 80s. Well, sure. Did I mention Narcos? I'll say it again. Creators of Narcos, get in. She was a renowned drug trafficker who created one of the most lucrative cartels in history, a skill that saw her become known as the Godmother. I will say it once, I will say it a million times, it's from the folks who gave us Narcos. This one looks like a wild, mad ride. And who wouldn't be up for this? So that's Griselda, all episodes which are now up on Netflix. Coming from South Korea, we have Badland Hunters, which is a dystopian action movie that sees Seoul turned into an apocalyptic wasteland after a devastating earthquake. Nam San, a fearless huntsman, springs into action to rescue a teenager abducted by a mad doctor in a camp full of dangerous cultists. Technically a sequel to 2023's Concrete Utopia, despite that not being on streaming, the good news is this one can be watched as a standalone movie and it's kind of more of in that universe than a direct sequel. Absolute madness. Coming from South Korea, what more do you want? Badland Hunters is now on Netflix. Another week, another high-octane thriller from Germany, this time in the form of Trunk, which is now on Prime Video. Melina, who wakes up disoriented to discover, to her horror, that she is missing more than her memory, but that she is also locked in the trunk of a car. What? With just her mobile phone as her only link to the outside world, she wages a desperate battle for survival as the vehicle races towards a terrible mystery. This movie has all the echoes of claustrophobic single location action features such as Ryan Reynolds' Buried. That, now there, was a good movie. That is Trunk on Prime Video, coming from Germany. Also out this week, we have Queer Eye Season 8 on Netflix, where the Fab Five return to help those in need by redefining them through their wardrobes, grooming habits, diet, or their homes. Yep, the feel-good factor is back, and the blubbing will be strong on this one. You know who you are. That's Queer Eye Season 8, which is now on Netflix. One for the, you know, smallies, and, well, maybe not too smallies because it involves bugs. Inspired by the world of Disney and Pixar's A Bug Life, the new Disney Plus series from National Geographic, A Real Bug's Life, is an adventure into 9 different micro-bug worlds around the globe, where the forces of nature play out on a miniature scale. With new developments in filming technology and narrated by our witty guide Awkwafina, you can take a trip with a jumping spider looking for a home on the streets of New York, to a Costa Rican orchid bee's first day on the job making perfume. One for nature-loving family-viewing binges, A Real Bug's Life is now on Disney+. And for the smallies, Sago Mini Friends returns for its second season on Apple TV+. Based on the popular and award-winning children's app, Sago Mini World, featuring Harvey the floppy-eared dog and his best friends Ginger the Cat, Jack the Rabbit and Robin the Bird. It's all back. And it is what it is. That's Sago Mini Friends Season 2, now on Apple TV+. And then there is something completely different.
America loves a superstar.
I'm Jason 2J's Jennings. I was a football legend.
But once you reach the mountaintop of greatness, everybody wants to see you fall.
2J's, this guy smoked.
Damn!
You pled guilty to charges of speeding and damage to city property. I'm recommending community service with the Long Beach Recreations Department.
I thought I was getting like some Martha Stewart kind of treatment.
You too good for the community that raised you.
In The Underdogs on Prime Video, Snoop Dogg stars as a former NFL football player, Jason Jennings, who agrees to coach a youth football team in order to avoid going to prison as he tries to relaunch his career. Oh boy. Oh boy, oh boy. Yes, this movie, it's the Mighty Ducks, it's the Bad News Bears, it's the Sandlot, but with Snoop Dogg and all his ridiculous swagger. What is going on, people? What is happening? That is The Underdogs, which is now on Prime Video. And finally, this week on Prime Video, we have Bottoms. Bottoms is a queer comedy starring the Bears, Ayo Adeberi and Rachel Sennett from Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. It was released earlier in the year to ecstatic raves. This hardcore, and yes, it's hardcore, comedy follows Josie and PJ, two unpopular high school students who start a fight club and also make a bet to try and have sex before graduation. I had a lot of fun on this one. While I wasn't giving it all the five stars some folks gave it, it was still a whole lot of fun. And if edgy, racy high school dramas like Mean Girls and Heathers are your jam, well, this one is definitely for you. This has every chance of doing a salt burn and going viral once it lands on Prime Video this week. And I feel TikTok is going to have a conniption and adore this. So that's the fun and quite bananas Bottoms, definitely worth a watch, which is now on Prime Video. And that is your streaming for the week. Told you, quality over quantity. Keep it up, people. Keep it up. Love it. January, I apologise. You weren't dry. You were simply amazing. And speaking of which, holy crap, the cinema this week. Folks, you don't know how lucky you are. Get out there.
Is this real?
Does it feel real?
Our boy's back home.
Our son. Look at you. You were just a boy. Now you're not.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't think that matters.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should.
I've always felt like a stranger in my own family.
Maybe I didn't love you.
I'm always scared of something.
Quite as often as I could.
Always running away, do you remember?
All of Us Strangers is a new movie from director Andrew Haig and stars Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. There you go. That's all you need to know. Go to cinema. One night in his near-empty London terror block, screenwriter Adam, played by Scott, has a chance encounter with his mysterious and drunk neighbour Harry, played by Mescal. As a relationship develops between them, Adam finds himself drawn back to his childhood home where his parents, played by Claire Foy and Jamie Bell, still live. That's the only plot you are getting from me. This is one for you to discover by yourself and embrace from the comfort of your cinema seats. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. The acting throughout this movie is simply superb and performances are, we're talking next level shit. It's visually stunning and as for the soundtrack, oh my days, it's an 80s banger fest. This is a glorious Again, beautiful and haunting roller coaster of a movie about love, grief and family. And it's also a very affecting movie that will stay with you, yeah, long after you've left the cinema. I mean, it truly, truly gets under your skin. I'm not going to lie, I was... Oh my God. I was quite shook in the cinema when it ended. You want to know how shook I was? Well, at the press screening, when the movie ended, I took off my glasses to take a breath. As you do, I sat for a moment and comprehended all I'd just taken in. And then with the end credits still rolling, I left the darkened cinema and exited into the light. Only to discover I'd forgotten to put my glasses back on. And... anybody who knows me, I've been wearing glasses since I was 14 and I'm as blind as a bat who wears glasses. I spent the next 10 minutes wandering around the cinema seats in Lighthouse Screen 1 with my phone light on and nope, couldn't find a single thing. Thank bejesus someone eventually came in to tidy up the screen who actually had eyes, and after another 5 minutes, there they were, they'd fallen under the seat. Thank you, kind lady. Thank you, kind lady. So what I'm saying is, and repeating, this is an affecting and wonderful movie and comes highly recommended from me. Just don't take off your glasses at any point. All of Us Strangers is now at cinemas. And if that wasn't a whopper-dopper enough, whopper-dopper? The Zone of Interest, which is due for release properly on February 2nd, is actually getting an early release this weekend in cinemas nationwide, which is quite fantastic considering all its Oscar nominations. Based on the 2014 novel by Martin Amis and directed by Jonathan Glazer, who directed Sexy Beast, as I mentioned many times earlier, and Scarlett Johansson's Under the Skin. Set in 1943, the Commandant of Auschwitz, Rudolf Hess, and his wife Hedwig strive to build a dream life for their family in an idyllic house and garden located next to the camp. This is a feckin' tough watch. The mundane, everyday life of the family is interspersed with sounds and visuals from Auschwitz itself, subtly hinted at in the background, never overbearing, whether it's just the simple light of a fire from a burning chimney lighting up the night sky, gunshots and screams being drowned out by the children playing in the garden and the swimming pool, or other various occurrences, which again, I'd rather not spoil here, but will break your soul. Christian Friedel plays Rudolf Hess. He's quite fantastic. And Sandra Hüller, fresh from her Oscar-worthy role in Anatomy of a Fall, is having quite a year, as there she is again. Unbelievable stuff. Glazer does his usual cinema tricks and throws you in and out of the movie like a ragdoll. And again, oh, prepare to be shook after this one. Do you know what? January is always an exceptional month for cinema releases due to award season and us getting those movies that were released stateside at Christmas. They all seem to drop here en masse, and in the past few weeks we have had genuine movies of the year contenders dropping all over the gaff, whether it's The Holdovers, Poor Things, All of Us Strangers, and now The Zone of Interest. So cinema is having quite a moment, and now would be a good time to get off that binge couch and catch some of these absolute gems. Absolute humdingers. So that's The Zone of Interest, which is released this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, then goes away and then is released proper on February 2nd at cinemas.
Today, our teacher taught us about a place called Africa. She say our mamas come from Queens over there. That means that we royalty.
Don't need you to love me.
Afternoon. I need me a wife.
Even if we have to part, you and me, us have one heart.
The Color Purple is a coming-of-age musical period drama based on the stage musical of the same name, which in turn is based on the 1982 novel of the same name by Alice Walker and is the second film adaptation of the novel, following the 1985 film directed by Steven Spielberg. Woo, there you go. The film stars Taraji P. Henson, Danielle Brooks, Coleman Domingo, Corey Hawkins, Anjanou Ellis-Taylor, and Fantasia Barrino. Brooks and Barino reprise their roles from the production of the stage musical, as it tells the story of Celie, an African-American woman living in the American South during the early 1900s. She faces many hardships in her life, but finds extraordinary strength and hope in the unbreakable bonds of sisterhood. Again, like most recent musicals, Warner has kept the fact that this is an actual musical. Hid it under the bonnet? I don't know what they're doing, but do not be confused. This is a full-on musical. It was an enjoyable, if that's the right word, experience. Some of the songs were absolute belters and quite fantastic, while, sadly, others were a bit meh, whatever. Danielle Brooks, Fantasia Barrino, and Taraji P. Henson were easily the standouts from the cast. Like, brilliant performances. Ultimately, though, it just never made it to the next level I was expecting it to reach, and had quite a few dips throughout its 2 hours and 20 minutes. As I mentioned earlier, in the month when absolute insane crackers are being released in cinemas, will folks find time for this? Well, if you love your musicals, definitely. If not, possibly it's one you'll catch at home at some point in the future. Anyway, that's The Color Purple, the musical, which is now at cinemas.
My dad, he died.
I'm the solicitor of your father's estate.
My dad owned this place.
I don't have any memories with him.
This is all I have right now.
If you're watching this, then I'm already dead. This property comes with a special tenant. You're the one thing that stands between her and the outside world.
Finally in cinemas this week, time for another January horror release. Oh yes, January is quite a nice little month for horrors. In Baghead, yes, it's actually called Baghead, a young woman inherits a run-down pub and discovers a dark secret within its basement. Baghead of the title is a shape-shifting creature that will let you speak to lost loved ones, but not without consequence. Oh my lord. You know me, I'm a bit of a horror freak. So anything up there on screen, unless you are completely muck, you're starting off on a decent footing. That's all I'll say. Ultimately, you know, this is a perfectly serviceable horror, is the best way to describe it. It's got some decent jumps. The acting is not bad. And the concept's pretty intriguing. Is it original and fresh? Not really. Talk to Me probably was a more edgy and fun version of this kind of idea. But, do you know what? Me and my horror heads who went to see it, we had a laugh. There was popcorn flying all over the gaff. Listen, if you're into horror and you're looking for something to distract you in January, dull January, and, you know, those snooty high-end award movies are not your jam, this'll do the job. It's not probably going to be one that the masses will flock to, but it's, you know, decent horror hokum that should scratch that nervous itch and twitch. I've no idea what that means. So that is Baghead, which is in cinemas. And that's your lot. Yes, quality cinema all round. Bells and whistles. Music-wise, oh, well, have we got some tunage for you this week.
I can go anywhere that I want. I just gotta turn myself inside out, back to front. I cut out shapes and worn out spaces.
Wall of Eyes is the second studio album by rock band The Smile, comprising the Radiohead members Tom York and Johnny Greenwood, along with Son of Kemet's Tom Skinner. If melancholy in January is your jam or your vibe, well, praise the Lord! While the first album felt like an intriguing novelty side project from Radiohead, Wall of Eyes feels like a band finally discovering their reason to be and growing into the wonderful entity we hoped it could be. I feel like this is the one. This is the one. Breakout is the wrong word to describe for these lads, but it definitely has all the signs of a smasher. That's Wall of Eyes from The Smile, who are playing a stadium tour later this year, which is now out in the world. People Who Aren't There Anymore is the seventh studio album by Baltimore synth-pop band Future Islands. Regarded by some as a one-hit wonder, synth-pop for sad dads, and famous for lead singer Sam Herring's onstage epicness, it's actually 10 years since they broke onto the scene with that famous David Letterman cameo, I suppose. While not exactly going to be a game-changer, this one has been a long time coming, and if it means they get the tour again, well, then I'll take it, because in concert, their energy and joy of being on the road touring is intoxicating. So that's People Who Aren't There Anymore from Future Islands, which is also now out in the world. And finally, in music, believe it or not, believe it or not, people, Kula Shaker released their seventh studio album this week called Natural Magic. Hush, hush, calm down, everybody. I only wanted to include this because back in the day in Bologna, at the Children's Book Fair, there was a wonderful old school restaurant which was in a basement and served stunning food. I mean, oh my God. But on the way down the steps to this den of expanded pants and all that food and vino, the walls were full of photographs of the owner and the chef next to Italian football royalty, Hollywood movie stars, famous Italian politicians and musicians. And there, in the middle of it all, Kula Shaker in all their glory. What? Yes, those lads, they were adored and seemingly were regulars at this place. So weird. And for the next 12 years, I attended Bologna as I left the restaurant, as we headed towards the Pink Bar, and then years later, the Swine Bar, I'd touch that Kula Shaker picture as if I was entering Anfield or a famous sports ground and pray for a minor hangover next day. Along with the lifelines, it seemed to work for many years. Anyways, I know. This is like some major post-credit nonsense happening here early this week. But just to let you know, Kula Shaker Natural Magic is now out. Right, that's your music. And yes, I'm going rogue yet again because books are back, baby. Books are back. Fae or fairy novels are part of a staple diet of young adult books in recent years. While at first outshone by their dystopian, paranormal and contemporary romance peers, thanks to authors like Holly Black with her Folk of the Air series, Sarah J. Maas with her Court of Thorn and Roses, or the OG for me, Melissa Mayer's Wicked Lovely Universe. In recent years, helped along by TikTok, Faye's sexy time YA and adult novels are now all the rage. Rebecca Yarros's Hunger Games fantasy with both Dragons and Sexy Times, Fourth Wing and Iron Flame were a smash hit last year. Well, this week sees the release of possibly the first of this year's Faye Sexy Time breakout novels. Sarah El Arifi's Faebound is everything you would expect it to be and will scratch that obsessive itch. In this one, two elven sisters become imprisoned in the world and courts of the Fae, where danger and love lie in wait. That's all you need to know. Bail in, it's a thumper of a book and the first of a trilogy. And then later this month, on January 30th, Sarah J. Maas and her Crescent City series with its third installment, House of Flame and Shadow Land. So yep, sexy time, fantasy genres, it's all having a moment and running amok in the book bestseller charts. You know who you are out there. These have been getting so much hype. TikTok, as I said, is losing its shit, and with Faebound out there now in all decent bookshops, and with Sarah J's House of Flame and Shadows about to land, that'll keep you off the streets while not watching TV or, you know, cinema. Just, you know, distract yourself. That's enough books. Let's have a quick look at three things that we noticed in pop culture this week. First up, and yes, there's only one place to start. One place we can go, and that's Thank You, Good Night. The new four-part Bon Jovi documentary coming from Hulu and hence, hopefully, Disney Plus here. This will be the first ever docuseries on the band's history with full cooperation from all past and present members of Bon Jovi. Yes, Richie is coming back, and it also promises to give viewers a glimpse at the life of the frontman, the god, the legend behind the music. According to the press release, 40 years of personal videos, unreleased early demos, original lyrics and never-before-seen photos that chronicle the journey from the Jersey Shore clubs to the biggest stages on the planet. It relives the triumphs, setbacks, greatest hits, biggest disappointments and most public moments of friction. Oh my lord, 40 years ago this week, Bon Jovi released their first album, Bon Jovi, and as some of you may be aware, I'm a bit of a Bon Jovi freak. My maths may be slightly off, but I've seen them about 22 or 23 times. Mero, I think I dragged along at least twice, if not three times. And for me, when things get rough, when it all just is too much, they're still one of my fave fallback comfort blanket backdrops, music-wise. Ah, lovely. Big hair never sounded so better. So hell yes, sign me up. I cannot wait. And if you haven't tried John Bon Jovi's rosé, known as Hampton Water, oh, people, you haven't lived. It's quite delish. Next up, Netflix has announced two new Harlan Coben drama adaptations following the massive success of Fool Me Once. As we all know by now, a Christmas New Year's binge of these nonsensical, over-the-top red herring plot twist-filled thrillers are perfect fodder for the masses drooling on their couches. Coben's novels Missing You and Runaway have been lined up for the next streaming platform. The first single released by Bon Jovi was Runaway. Just saying, it's all synergy here. Missing You follows protagonist Detective Kat Donovan, who comes across her missing fiancé on a dating app 11 years after he disappeared. His reappearance brings up questions about Kat's past, including the mystery surrounding her father's murder. Oh yeah, glorious nonsense alert. Meanwhile, Runaway tells the story of Dad Simon, who seems to have the perfect life until his eldest daughter Paige runs away from home and he gets dragged into an underworld filled with deep family secrets. Oh my lord. No release dates have yet been confirmed, but I'd expect Missing You to be first to drop next Christmas or early New Year. While on the subject of Harlan Coben, can I recommend the best Coben out there that is light years ahead of these British hokey-cokey thrillers, and that is Shelter, which has been on Prime Video for about a few months and is based on Coben's YA novel and set in New Jersey. Don't get me wrong, I love the Brit set thrillers. Again, beautiful little stupid comfort blankets, why not? And regularly binge them. But Shelter has a cast you will become attached to and kind of get along with. It has a plotline that cracks along with multiple twists and turns, but which don't feel like they're shoehorned into the script. Jaden Michael is fantastic in the lead, and all 8 episodes are up there now waiting for you. Should you need more Coben in your life, that's Shelter, which is now on Prime Video. And finally this week, it is all kicking off at Netflix. I mean, like, holy shit. Netflix added a far better than expected 13 million subscribers in the final quarter to reach 260.3 million globally as of the end of 2023, which is now the highest number of subscribers they have ever had. So that password sharing crackdown that Netflix has started to introduce worldwide, and which many thought would collapse the model, seems to have in fact boosted the model. And as if to prove their power and their might and their hopes to at some point enter the live sports content arena, this week they dropped the bombshell that starting January 2025, they will be streaming exclusively WWE wrestling show Raw live on a streamer worldwide for the next 10 years at a cost of, wait for it, $5 billion. That's billion with a B, people. Billion with a B. Outside of the US, it also looks like SmackDown and their pay-per-view events will also be live on Netflix. This is a huge, huge bloody hell statement of intent. And while a lot of folks may have no time for wrestling, this is a massive sports business move and basically a shot across the bows of other streamers. Successful, and who knows what they'll aim for next. The Premier League, it has its worldwide global following. The NBA, maybe want to break out worldwide. Absolutely fascinating stuff. I'm all in for this. Love it. Well, there you go. Fun times all round. That's me done. Another week. If I was to recommend one TV show, it 100% has to be Masters of the Air. This is a must-see war epic that will have you gripped. Amazing cast and directors. And as for cinema, well, it's got to be both All of Us Strangers and The Zone of Interest. Two stunning movies that will shake you to your core and sweep you away in their gripping, enthralling storytelling. I mean, woof. And with that, this is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best, and until next week, stay safe and binge happy. Well, hello. Hello there, post-credit traveller. Welcome yet again. Da-da-da-da. Oh, such a safe space. Such a place where we can speak our truths and just talk shite. And this week, you thought I'd forgot. Oh, Oscar. There's the BAFTAs and their nominations causing absolute carnage. And then you rock up and say, hold my beer. Okay, so rather than jump in and just list off the tragedies and surprises of these nominations, I'm just going to share my hot takes. This year's awards, oh, you know what? It's going to be one of the most predictable and snoozy ceremonies ever. Oppenheimer is about to lay waste to all who lie before it. Yes, there are some possibilities of shocks. I'm looking at you with my left eye, Paul Giamatti, and you, Emma Stone, with my bah, bah. What else? Oh, for once, visual effects. Yo, this kind of feels like an exciting showdown between two underdogs, the creator versus Godzilla minus one. And you know what? I'm happy with whomever wins, as long as it's one of these two, because they were stew bloody pendous and on a low budget. We all know that Hollywood types are a very insecure bunch. We're very aware of this. So when Hollywood and the Academy opened their doors to be more inclusive to world cinema and voters all those years ago, I am fairly certain they were not expecting to open the doors to so many Europeans running amok and nabbing a lot of their nominations every year. But sadly for them now, not really, because these movies are amazing, that horse has now bolted and the genie is firmly out of the bottle. And forget the British are coming, and forget the Irish, it's the Europeans. France entering the Taste of Things instead of Anatomy of a Fall for Best International Feature. Do you know what it feels like to me? It feels like Ireland entering any of its recent songs into the Eurovision, because they're definitely trying to never win it again. Sorry, Stephen. That's just how I feel. And finally, yes, finally, let's get to the elephant in the room. The shock of the nominations. Yes, Ninja Turtles being ignored in Best Animated Feature. What the act? I'm only joshing. Poor Margot and Greta. The Greta snub is possibly definitive proof of something we have always suspected. The Academy hate IP, comedies, and anything that does well at the box office. Greta, over her last few movies, was turning into an Academy untouchable, like a young Meryl Streep in the eyes of Hollywood. From Lady Bird to Little Women, her power and popularity has been growing every year. But then she swiftly turned that corner, taken by most of her male counterparts, I'd like to point out, and decided to focus on box office and IPs like Barbie and The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. This to Hollywood wasn't a good look. As far as they're concerned, what's happening here? And well, this so-called snub, that was their answer to this. But, you know, these are the same folks who ignored Nolan's The Dark Knight. And personally, you know me, I enjoyed Barbie, didn't think it was amazing, but I'm personally more upset about Celine Song being ignored for No Past Lives. Damn you all! Justine Triet? Class. As for Margot, this is possibly more outrageous, especially since America Ferrera got nominated for a closing speech and Ryan Gosling got nominated for being Knuff, yet the gel that held them all together was ignored. Again, you'd have to throw the comedy IP box office haters at this one, but I would also say Carey Mulligan and Annette Bening, what are you doing here? Get out of this category. That's the shock for me. Please move over and let Margot in. And also, that would allow Greta Lee to swan in, because that was also a shocking snub. And personally, I think it was not talked about enough. At the end of the day, let's just remember, this is a nonsense award ceremony for nonsense people held in a nonsense town. And we probably needed all this controversy to liven it up. Because when the real show rolls into town on March 10th, it's going to be a long, slow night of death by a thousand cuts. So many cuts. And yes, this here Egypt and his little crew of Oscar Egypts will be staying up and probably shouting at the TV saying, why did we stay up? Because it's so predictable. Ah, good times. And with that, let us leave you with your weekly worm of the ear. It was a no-brainer for me. It was pretty obvious. And yes, it's a doozy. So let us raise a glass of Hampton Water to all those Oscar nominees who have risen to fight for one more day, and to those fallen heroes who not only fell at the final hurdle, but whacked into it and hit them on the way out. Off we go. Nonsense, absolute nonsense.
Right.